This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. This is The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning and Ku Su Chuang. We are going back into time to July 1969, where two things of note happened that month. Firstly, David Bowie released this iconic song.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major.
That was for you, Xiaoning.
I love it.
I know you do. That was Space Oddity by David Bowie, released on 11th July 1969.
1969 was when the world started and the world ended. It was the year of Woodstock. It was the year that Neil Armstrong landed on the moon. It was also the year that one of my best mates was born.
Were you born yet, Chuang?
No, not yet.
None of us in the studio were born yet in 1969. And as you mentioned, the world witnessed the first steps of mankind on the moon that month.
Yeah, so yesterday, the 20th of July, marked 52 years since the first moon landings. Now, in the present day, July 2021 has seen a flurry of space activity, with Richard Branson's trip to the edge of space 9 days ago via his company Virgin Galactic, and Jeff Bezos making a similar trip just yesterday with Blue Origin. So with more commercial companies entering the high-stakes space race, how do the traditional space players like NASA view the landscape for space exploration?
So for some thoughts on this, we are speaking this morning to Garvey McIntosh, the NASA Asia representative who's based at the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo. Good morning, Garvey. So let's start with a look at history. How would you summarize the legacy of the Apollo missions? How did the moon landings contribute to our present understanding of space and space exploration?
Yeah, so I mean, the moon landings are the start, the catalyst of space exploration, if you will. You know, it showed that humans could go further out in the solar system. I think, you know, we didn't really know that before. And so it was obviously it was using cutting edge technology and really challenging, you know, the technology that we had in the 1960s to be able to take not only Apollo 11, which is the most famous in 1969, but 7 successful launches. Unfortunately, Apollo 13 was not able to make it down successfully, but 6 missions landed successfully on the moon between 1969 and 1972, and 12 astronauts were able to actually land on the moon. So it's really kind of the high point, if you will, that was the point that put NASA on the map as, you know, the leading agency in the world for space exploration. And I mean, I think we're still benefiting from the moon landings of the 1960s and early 70s.
Now, the U.S. has plans to return humans to the moon by 2024 under its Artemis program. But I want to know, why is there such a long gap for the U.S. to continue moon exploration?
There's been a lot of moon exploration, not only with NASA, but many of our international partners. You know, robotic missions, we've continued to study the moon and find out many more things about the moon than we knew in the 60s. I think if you look back at Apollo missions, the primary reason for Apollo was competition with the Russians, the space race, if you will. But after that time, you know, we decided to work collaboratively and also with the country that we had a space race with, Russia. If you look at the International Space Station, we have 5 partners, the United States, Europe, Canada, Japan, and Russia. And we built the International Space Station, which in my mind is the most unbelievable technological marvel that the world has ever seen. And so we decided as 5 organizations, the leading technology organizations in the world at the time, if you will, decided to explore maybe a place that was closer to Earth and build an international space station. So since 1972 and now, we haven't had humans return to the moon, but we found out a lot more about the moon. And it's one of the reasons now that we're so excited about the moon, because we know that, for example, that the moon has a lot of water on the poles on the moon, both the North and the South Pole. We think there's a little bit more on the South Pole. So now going back to the moon is very, very right, because we know a lot more about the moon. And we know from the past that we can actually get humans there to that distance. And then from the International Space Station time, working with an international partner, we know how to keep humans alive and safe for long periods of time. For example, right now, when our astronauts go to the National Space Station, they stay for about 5 or 6 months. We've also had astronauts stay as up to a year. Now is just a great time to go to the moon, but I wouldn't say that we've stopped exploring the moon. We know a lot more about the moon than we did.
I see. Okay, so the idea is we didn't know enough to pursue human habitation of the moon back then, but we have the knowledge and technology to do so today.
Correct. And I want to kind of make one point. There seems to be a thought that NASA NASA is obviously one of the leading space agencies, if not the leading space agency in the world, but we don't decide everything that happens in space. And so we think now is a good time to go back to the moon, because not only are we relying on other countries, but now we're relying on the commercial sectors to give us innovative ways to have a sustainable approach towards living on the lunar surface, towards maybe building infrastructure or outposts on the lunar surface. So as you might have seen from watching TV and recent SpaceX missions, NASA is now a customer for many of the commercial partners. So I think the Artemis program is just a United States idea of how we as a country would like to go back to the moon. But we're hoping that other people will make innovative contributions, both in the other government sectors, but also the private sectors as well.
So at this point, we're seeing private companies, as you say, such as SpaceX and Blue Origin in the space, but what are the possibilities and also challenges that come with the entry of private enterprise into the sphere?
I think anytime you're exploring space, there's going to be challenges. Space is not easy. It's just challenging. But I think it's worth the challenge. I think the human spirit desires to explore the solar system and find out the unknown. And so I think it's great that private companies are getting involved in space. And I think previously is that NASA had, or government organizations had to do so much, because maybe private companies didn't know how to make a profit in space. But now as they explore space more and they found innovative ways to make money and profit in space, I think we're going to see a boom in the private space industry. And I think it's good. I mean, NASA as a government agency, we're never in competition with private companies. I mean, we want to help private companies grow. And I think that's a healthy and effective way for any industry, but more importantly, the space industry. So I think there will always be a role for government. I think the governments do things that are maybe a little bit more risky, a little bit more costly. But I think once they pave that way, like the International Space Station, you know, we went with other countries to build the International Space Station, but we don't have to be the one to service the International Space Station. If other private organizations can find ways to make money, as we found, you know, as contracting out both cargo and humans to the International Space Station as we do now, and that's great. That's the kind of healthy environment for space that I think everyone benefits from, is when the commercial companies are involved and they found a way to make profit, and the U.S. government sector can do things a little bit more riskier and costlier. As the United States, we decided that we want to maybe explore further out in the solar system. So we're going to start with the moon, and I think you'll see not too far behind us exploring Mars as well.
How would you then respond to questions of equity when it comes to the space industry? Does it only benefit the countries and companies that have the deep pockets to fund such projects?
I think if for any activity, it's the country or the people's desire to do something, then that country makes that decision to do something. So the United States as a country decided, has led a long time ago, that space exploration is important to us and puts us on the edge of utilizing cutting edge technologies, and I think it's been a part of, you know, the U.S. Kind of DNA for long periods of time. Now, other countries, I can't really speak for other countries, but I think that if you look across the landscape of other countries, that more and more countries are getting involved in space exploration, or just space utilizing the space altogether. I mean, most countries now have satellites in space. Whether that's, you know, specifically for space exploration, but many countries have like communication satellites, Earth remote sensing satellites, or taking advantage of at least those technologies. So I would say most countries are involved in space activities at some way.
And Garvey, as you mentioned, the moon landings were driven in large part by the Cold War rivalry. Do you think there's a similar competition dynamic at play in today's space race?
I think from a United States perspective, I work for NASA, so I can speak from the United States perspective. I don't think we really perceive that there's a space race per se. You know, there are some countries that we collaborate with, some countries that we don't, maybe. But I think when we see achievements in space overall, you know, that helps the overall space industry. And I think the more data and the more knowledge we can find about the moon or other bodies that we expect to explore, I think it's good for the overall space industry. So I personally don't think there's a space race. I think everybody would have their own opinion, but I think it's really what I call it's the golden age of space exploration. When you have so many private companies involved and so many countries involved, it's really, really, really a good time for space exploration. And so I think you're going to see a growing number of activities involved in space exploration and just space activities in the future.
Garvey, thanks so much for weighing in on this. That was Garvey McIntosh, NASA Asia representative based at the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo, speaking to us about the legacy of the moon landings and the future of the space industry.
I'm really concerned because once private enterprise enters space, you can tell that there's going to be a commercial interest in basically the moon and wherever else they foray into. That's how it works, right?
Believe in public-private partnerships? You do it on the highway, you can do it up in the sky.
You know, Jeff Bezos was funding Blue Origin from his own pocket for a number of years. He spent at least $5 to $10 billion on that project.
I mean, when you're worth gazillions, it's okay.
Correct, but he's got to make it work for him, right? And I get concerned because they've already desecrated Earth. What are they going to do in the moon?
Well, the other thing I do have a question mark about is the environmental cost.
Absolutely.
In terms of sending a rocket or, you know, any flight into space.
For 10 seconds, and then what happens?
Well, I think it was 10 minutes.
10 minutes, not 10
so
seconds.
So what I meant was 10.
But they
That's
always
what I meant.
Say that from space, there are some technological advances that come with it. We'll watch this space, right?
It is definitely a space worth watching. And yeah, we are going to keep watching this. But up next...
Pun intended or...
Both. Up next, we're discussing the state of our highway concessions with transport planning consultant Rosalie Azad. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.